Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. This is Bénédicte Pro, and today we're talking to the director and scriptwriter of the penultimate film to come in competition, Mug. We're talking today with Malgorzata Szumowska. Hello.
Hello, hello.
As well as Michel Englert.
Hello, hi.
So, I want to start with the title, because this is the first thing we see, and it's always very intriguing, because it's just one word, not even one, it's a noun, not a verb. And in the end, we realize it embraces all so much, you know, this just one word. You did also with Vimier, with Body. So is this something you decided to do at some point, to just force yourself to always choose the one word?
Maybe it's a little bit unconscious, I would say, but it's unconscious, you see. But this time we got a problem, because in Polish version the title is twarz, which means face. And but then Jerzy Skolimowski, very famous Polish director, who is a friend of mine, he watched one version of the movie and he said, Malgo, I think the title should be Mug.
Shouldn't be face.
Face is too delicate. Then that somehow Jerzy Skolimowski invented the title for the movie.
English.
Yeah, English title. Because in Polish we are still keeping the version twarz. As for a Polish distributor, he was a little bit afraid that it's Mac in Polish, Ray, it's too vulgar.
Something to add, Michel?
Yeah, I agree. The Ray in Polish sounds vulgar, yeah, so it wasn't needed.
So, Michel, I couldn't help noticing that, well, you're first and foremost a cinematographer, but just for Malgorzata, you also write together with her just for her films, because you did that on Vimier as well as Body and now Mug. What did you choose to do this combination, and especially to when you make films with Malgorzata?
I think I'm always too shy to call it like writing, real writing. I always treat it like we have a concept. Of course, it needs to be written to communicate with the producers and the rest of the process. Yeah. So for me, it's quite natural. I think this is we went through the film school together. So we, let's say, as a filmmakers, we grew up together. So we are very often inspired with the same things. So with the writing is more or less the same. So when we come up with some idea, we're just trying to follow it, and we bring. Each of us brings some inspirations, but we have like a main plot, and the best thing out of it is like while we're writing, I have this feeling that we just imagine the same things, which is not very usual, I think. So I think that's the one of the biggest advantage.
Well, in this particular case, it's also very interesting because this character, it's surrounded by a certain light, is illuminated, and this is how we recognize him. Maybe it takes some minutes to get used to his new face as a viewer, but I think that what we recognize him is the way he's shown as this being of lightness and light and lightness.
He has a kind of vivid energy, I would say. This is about energy, and that's why we have chosen Mateusz, because he has this energy in real life, something which is a little bit boyfish. Boyfish? Boyish. Boyfish. Boyfish.
Mermaid.
Boyish. And vivid and very crazy. Vital. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you are right that you can recognize, and the way how he walks, how he moves also, it rings.
Did you have precise ideas on how you wanted to put it in the image every time?
Of course, I mean, like the you always think about the aesthetics, yeah. So we for this one we built a very radical, I would say, visual language with all of this distortions, muddy tones, and everything. But as a composition, composition wise, yes, of course, the framing, it's something what comes out naturally, I would say. And but we had some of the things we already planned, storyboarded. Some of the things we come up spontaneously with ideas. So yeah. But he was he's in the spot. Yes, it's his perspective. It's mm-hmm. it's him. We're mm-hmm. always next to him. That's why we're following his wildness, mm-hmm. his sensitivity. So that's why I wanted to keep it. To make it visible with cinematography as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, he's very much in movement. He's on a horse, on a car, he walks a lot, yes?
Yeah, the way he walks is important, the way he's moving, that he has a specific way of walking, and that he's so fast, I mean, moving pretty fast. We like it.
What was interesting also is that usually you have this non-judgmental, loving look on your world, on society, on the world, not judgmental but aware. And this time, through this character, this look is sort of integrated in the movie through him, this personal character who becomes a silent. So to me, it became the embodiment of the look that I perceive in your films in general.
You think so? Yeah, I hope so. But I think the way we are looking at the society in that film, it's a kind of tender look. It's not a judgmental
look. No.
Exactly like you said. Then, of course, we see all their problems and the weakness, but at the same time, we see that they are human beings and we can laugh with them and we can like them, actually, even they are what they are.
But he's a victim of the accident. This is how it starts, falling in the body of Christ. But he doesn't complain. I mean, this is not someone has an accident and he complains. So, you know, it's the story is basically everyone around him.
Yes. It's how the people react to him. Because he's not complaining and he stay like before the accident inside. Then exactly, it's about how the society react to him. He hasn't changed. And maybe he has changed at the very, very end when he's leaving. Mm-hmm. Because finally he's enough free to go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But with the same is we wanted to have a character who is very determined and he wants to keep going and just just to leave. Yeah. And then that was this he's being in motion in the movie. I think it helps us as well.
I thought there was a good measure of humor, you know, some scenes, maybe more than in other films. The confession scenes, for example, are quite good. I won't say everything, but the humor was very important in this case.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That for us, we were thinking about Mac, we were thinking about actually black comedy, something which is full of humor, because, you know, we can talk about very serious issues, but in more light way and funny way. And I think we achieve it. The people in the cinema, they were laughing all the time. Mm-hmm. We were really amazed that the people really are taking this humor. They're reading the humor we gave them.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes because the situation, it's hard to predict what's gonna be funny for the audience. So we were so happy yesterday that there was like full applause and a lot of laugh, and in the context of the scenes, the people got it, and it seems to be funny for them, and
Well, it's also because every scene is very delightful, I have to say. I talked about the confession scenes, but even the horse riding scene, every scene on its own, the Christmas scene with all the people telling the character what they expect for, what they wish for him. Of course, the introduction, the discount store. Did you have some scenes you had in mind since the beginning and you knew you wanted them? And others maybe that came up later?
Yes. Like the discount scene was from the beginning. All scenes with the Jesus Christ, all scenes in the hospital, Merry Christmas scene, horse scene. They were from the beginning, and then there were a couple of them, like maybe 10 or 11. We were rethinking, but there were some solid scenes which we at the beginning we knew we have to do it.
Did you fight on the? I mean, did you argue on the presence or relevance or not of certain moments?
A little bit, yes, absolutely. But most we are arguing mostly in editing room, because they are like completely sometimes different visions we have. But only during editing. Before, no, we are more or less.
Yeah, I mean, whatever we have, let's say, discussions, hot discussions, it's more creative, just to make it something out of it. So it, of course, it happens on the set, but as well, but it's, we're quite, I would say we're quite synced after these years.
Yeah.
So, of course, this Jesus exists. It's was it the first impressions for the story, actually, this big Jesus, which is the highest statue in the world, just by a few meters higher than the one in Rio? Was this the first,
first
trigger?
First was the guy who's losing the face, okay. And he's got a new brand new face. And the second was Jesus, because we asked to each other how he can lose this face, what kind of accident it should be. And then we figure out it has to be that he's losing face because of Jesus.
It's very Polish, you know, this kind of ambition to build something. What is the biggest? And in real, to make it even more funny, the big statue is next to the kebab store and the
Tesco.
Supermarket. So
Tesco
we didn't want to go that far, but. Yeah.
Yeah, it is extremely Polish, indeed. I really like that this Christ, your one, looks to the right as if he's doing the traffic, as if he's controlling the traffic.
Yes. At the end.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's from reality, because actually it was a statue of John Paul II, built very huge, giant, mm-hmm. In Częstochowa, which is very important place for the Catholics in Poland, mm-hmm. for Santa Madonna. Mm-hmm. And then it was a big rumor that the statue facing not a good direction, mm-hmm. that the statue should facing Santa Madonna Sanctuarium and is not watching. And they were really thinking about twisted or not. And finally,
statue.
I don't know if they did it or not, but that fact inspired us to the final scene.
Yeah, it's a very good image to leave us on this film, which was very very much a delight to watch, and I'm really wishing it the best at the award ceremony tonight. Thank you so much, Margareta Szumowska, for telling us about the movie, as well as Misha Engert, co-scriptwriter and cinematographer, to have been with us today.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.